Cozy up, because Now TV is all about the drama. Let Anthony Hopkins introduce you to Westworld's charming killer hosts. And I'm simply dying to see season 7 of Fox's The Walking Dead. Feeling the chill? Get steamy, catching up on The Affair before it returns. Search Now TV for the latest shows and over 250 box sets, all with no contract. Now TV, now you can.
18 plus, UK only. Month passes auto-renew. Cancel at any time. Full terms at nowtv.com.
Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single week. We do it a little bit differently than anyone else does. Try to give you a dose of common sense, try to maybe make you laugh here and there, maybe add in just a touch of sarcasm every once in a while. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast. Look, we don't do like advertising. We're not out there getting billboards and those kind of things. We basically rely on our listeners to tell others about the podcast. If you are out there, you're enjoying the show, you want to share it with other people, tell them they can go get it in a number of places. They can go get it at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, Google Play. We have our own channel on Audio Boom, or you can head over to blogtalkradio.com and find it right there. You can also head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We do put up new articles each and every week. You might want to stop by there this week. You know, the College Football Playoff Committee has a pretty tough decision coming. We may have broken some news concerning the College Football Playoff Committee this year. Something interesting going on over there. So you might want to stop by the website. Plus, we always do include a link to the podcast there every single week. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. Duff over there at Rogue does a great job of getting new and interesting podcasts up every single week. So you're going to want to make sure that you stop by there. Got a question? Got a comment? Maybe you need some advice on something? We do get asked a number of things. Got a number of things this past week when there was a very interesting Denver Bronco game going on. Heard from a few people that were asking, you know, what about this and was this real? And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But there's a few different ways you can get a hold of us. You can, of course, email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can hit us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we're going to actually be doing our college basketball preview. Yes, I know, we realize that we really don't care that much about college hoops just yet, but we also want you to be well-informed. The great thing about doing the show, we have smart listeners on the Daily Dose. We have intelligent listeners, listeners that may be a little bit higher IQ than, some of the average sports fans out there. And so we want you just to be a little more informed when it comes to college hoops. So we'll give you a few dark horses, give you a few contenders, few teams that might actually kind of sneak through for some deep runs into the postseason. Plus, I'll give you my picks for the Final Four. I got four teams I think that are going to go to the Final Four, and I'll even give you the team that I think is going to win it all. Yes, 4 months prior to March Madness, you are already going to know who to pick in your office bracket pool. We will take a look at some chaos in college football, how the NFL postseason is shaping up, and our Daily Dose Top 5. Never want to miss that. Always got to make sure that you stick around for that. Hey, before we get to all the things we have to discuss today, and I'm going to be honest, I got a full show here today. I want to hook you up with something real quick, though. Here's the deal. Holidays are coming. You need to buy presents. You have no idea what to buy. I'm here to help you. As usual, the Daily Dose is in the business of helping people. Let me help you. Here's something you can do. Head over to lootcrate.com/Daily Dose and do some shopping there. Loot Crate has some really, really cool stuff. They've got things like collectibles, they've got figurines, they've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats. I'm actually on the site right now. I am looking at a Princess Bride t-shirt, Captain America hat. We've got a Deadpool t-shirt. They've got a Halo hoodie. Number of cool things that are over there. And the great thing about it, you can purchase a crate that's got 4 to 6 items in it. You can purchase a monthly subscription of crates, or you can just buy individual items, however you want to do it. But they've got a ton of different stuff over there. If you're not sure what to get that someone on your list, maybe it's a nephew, maybe it's a niece, maybe it's a son or a daughter, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a loved one, whoever it might be, I'm telling you right now, head over to Loot Crate, check out some of the stuff they have. From J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World to Marvel Gear, Firefly, South Park, Halo, you name it, they've got it. Everything you get is licensed and exclusive. And I'll be honest with you, they do have pretty reasonable prices. It's not like you're going to go over there and say, well, yeah, that would be great if I took out a second mortgage. It's not like that. You can also have them ship it directly to your friend or loved ones if you don't want to deal with the shipping and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. When you check out on Loot Crate, be sure to plug Daily Dose, one word, DALYDOSE, into the coupon code. You'll get 10% off your order. Got that person on your list? You're not quite sure what to buy? Head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and check that out. I'm sure you're going to find something that you're going to like. Here's the cool part. Honestly, whatever you purchase, Loot Crate will kick a small percentage to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'll be very transparent with you. I have never asked for money for any of this stuff. We started doing the podcast a long time ago. It was for fun. It was for people that like this style of sports and that kind of thing. Whatever we raise through Loot Crate, we will be donating to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund that actually helps boys and girls with the cost of playing lacrosse. And it's actually affiliated with Denver East High School. And the great thing about that, there's a number of kids that want to get into lacrosse. There's a number of kids that are going to be shaped and helped by getting into organized sports, can't afford to do it. We will donate whatever we make from this. We're not going to take a dime of it. I'm not going to take a dime of it. We will donate that to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund. If you aren't familiar with that, or if you want to look into that a little more, go to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And over on the sidebar, you can actually see a link to the Billy Betts Lacrosse Fund. It is a very worthwhile fund. Get some cool presents for the important people in your life. Help some kids get involved with sports in a great program where they're also going to get some very important life lessons. Hey, that's good karma for you. What more could you ask for? Head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Get your shopping done. Okay, let's move forward. You know, last week, we talked about a little bit Fenwick High School made our top five turkeys of the year after they had a bad call go against them in the Illinois High School football playoffs. Hey, the refs made a mistake on a late call. Sometimes these things happen. It's not fair. It's not fun. It's not nice. But sometimes these things do happen. Refs made a mistake. But here's the thing. Fenwick didn't just complain. They actually filed a lawsuit to have their team just put through to the next round of the playoffs. So what they did is they went before a judge and they said, here's the deal, we got ripped off, and so what we want you to do is just ignore the final score and we should be playing in the next round of the playoffs. Now, I said last week, I didn't think a judge would see it in time for the next game. Somehow, they did get it before Illinois Judge Kathleen Kennedy, and she actually rendered a judgment. Do we have a clip of that? We have a clip of her verdict? Here's a clip of what she had to say.
Nah, baby, I'm not gonna be able to do it.
Wow, was that her? She had a deeper voice than I thought she would have. Well, either way, Kathleen Kennedy shot that down. She actually scolded them a little bit for wasting her time bringing that into a court. We talked about it a little last week. Just because you lose, you don't get to do that. You don't just get to sue because things didn't go your way. Sometimes life isn't fair. Sometimes things break the wrong way. And the adults out there at Fenwick High School should have been the voice of reason. Glad to see Kathleen Kennedy actually shoot that down. Okay, let's jump over to the NFL. An interesting week in the NFL. And you know, I was thinking about this because we are now getting down to it. What are we, week 11? Just four or five games left in the NFL regular season. Let's take a look real quick. How would it look? How would this all shape up? For one thing, if the NFL actually ended today, there'd be a lot of really mad people because there's still like five games left. But let's take a look. In the AFC, your top seed right now would be the New England Patriots. New England Patriots right there. Number two would be the Oakland Raiders. The Baltimore Ravens would be sitting at three. The Texans at four. The Chiefs at five. And the Miami Dolphins actually sneak ahead into the sixth position, at least right now. If you were looking at that lineup, you would have Ravens versus Dolphins and Texans versus Chiefs for the AFC playoffs. That's how the wild card games would look. And then the lowest winner would play the Patriots in that next round. I'm looking at that lineup. Dolphins and Chiefs would be favorites to win both of those games, I would think. You'd have Dolphins versus Patriots, Chiefs versus Raiders. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because we look at this right now. And the thing about the NFL is such a week-by-week league. Things change drastically from week to week. We're looking at the Oakland Raiders right now. They're in the driver's seat. And they look to me like the best team in the AFC West. But you know, in 2 weeks, the Raiders go to Kansas City. Don't forget, Kansas City already went to Oakland and whipped them 26-10. The Raiders could get swept in 2 weeks. We're looking at them being in the driver's seat. That could all go away very, very quickly. The New England Patriots, they've got some problems. Are they still the best team in the league? Maybe. I know this. If Rob Gronkowski is hurt again, and they're talking about the back problem, still not quite sure what happened with the lung issue. If he's hurt again, that offense struggles mightily without Gronkowski in the lineup. And the other thing that I saw on Sunday, this past week against the Jets, Tom Brady's knee was bothering him significantly. If that's the case, the top two seeds we're looking at right now might not be the top two seeds in another few weeks. Remember, NFL is a week-to-week season. Things change drastically every single week. Let's switch over to the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys sitting at the one seed right now, with the Seattle Seahawks sitting at the two seed. Hey, we were looking at Seattle saying, oh man, they look like the best team maybe in the league. They got whipped by Tampa. And I watched that game. That game was not that close. Tampa controlled that game from beginning to end. And surprisingly, controlled it with their defense. Right now in the NFC, Cowboys are one. Seahawks would be two. The Detroit Lions are at three. Falcons, four. New York Giants at five. And Washington Redskins at six. That's wide open. I don't know who the strength is. The Dallas Cowboys look like the big dog over on the side of the NFC. Seahawks, I'm still not going to count them out, but it looks like Dallas is the big dog. But again, we're sitting here looking at some of these teams. The thing we have to remember when we're talking about the NFL, injuries happen, crazy finishes happen, and upsets happen every single week that you can't predict. Where all these teams are sitting right now, trust me on this, is not where things will end up. That's not how the NFL works. So when we count down, here's 1 through 6, trust me, it's going to be different by the time we get there. It will be very, very different. Right now, defending Super Bowl champions, the Denver Broncos would be out. Like I said, there's still a lot of football to play. I did receive a number of texts and tweets asking about that Denver Broncos game against Kansas City Chiefs. Sunday night game, back and forth. Chiefs led early. Broncos came back and took the lead late, had the lead very late. And the Chiefs came back and were able to get the win. Few of the questions that I kept getting, was that Kansas City Chiefs touchdown really a touchdown? If you didn't see it, a late pass from Alex Smith to wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Hill starts to make the catch just outside the end zone. He doesn't have control of the pass. He falls back into the end zone and then gains control. Officiating crew got it right. And instant replay, for as many times as we complain about instant replay got this call right. He didn't have possession when his knee was down. But you are allowed to make the catch on the ground. Once he established possession, he was in the end zone. Instant replay got that right. Yes, that was a touchdown. By rule, that's a touchdown. Should the Denver Broncos wide receiver Benny Fowler, he caught that long, the 76-yard pass from Trevor Siemian earlier. Should Benny Fowler have taken a knee on that long touchdown and then allowed the Denver Broncos to run out the clock? They were up by a point at that point. It was 17-16. Trevor Siemian hits Benny Fowler on a long pass, and Benny Fowler goes into the end zone. That's a media question. That's a question only the geeks in the media would be like, well, you know what he really should have done? What would have been the wise decision is he should have taken a knee, and then the Broncos clearly could have run out the clock. That's not how football works. You get the ball, you try to score. That is in your DNA from as a baby starting to play football. That is a stupid question that never should have been asked. There were 3 minutes left. The Denver defense had been dominating Alex Smith up to that point. So, yes, he should have gone in and scored. That's just what you do. That's just what you do. Please stop with those dumb questions. The media kind of drummed that up. Your defense has been dominant all day, so that's kind of an ignorant question. Should Gary Kubiak have gone for two after that touchdown? Now, that one I'll hear. Because if Kubiak goes for two there and gets it, they're up by 2 scores. Now it's a 9-point game. Now it's 25-16. You're up by 9. You're in a pretty good spot. If you don't get it, you're still up by 7. And are you really going to tell me that Andy Reid would have gone for 2 in the win if he got the touchdown late? There's no way. Andy Reid's not geared that way. He would have kicked the extra point. We would have gone to overtime the same way. So going for 2, maybe. I didn't hear anybody saying that at the time, but maybe. Maybe. Now, of course, the big question about the Denver Broncos game against the Chiefs. Should Gary Kubiak have elected to kick the long field goal? If you missed it, the Chiefs go back, score, get the 2-point conversion, and it goes to overtime. In overtime, both the Chiefs and the Broncos kick a field goal. So now it is sudden death. Denver drives to the Kansas City 44-yard line. They are facing 4th and 10 with 1:08 left in the game. And Gary Kubiak elected to kick the 62-yard field goal, missed it. And remember, when you miss a field goal, you don't take over at the spot of the ball. You take over from the spot of the kick. So they actually gained an extra 7 yards. Chiefs took over at the Denver 48, drove down, kicked field goal, won the game. Would I have kicked the field goal? Here's the thing. As a former coach, I'm all about percentages. And I want you to think about this for just a second. As a basketball coach, say I'm down by 2. I'm not taking the 3 if I can get the layup. Because the 2, the layup, is a higher percentage. So I'm always going to take the higher percentage because something crazy might happen. What if I hit the layup and then you turn the ball over and I get the ball right back? Or you miss the free throws and I don't have to sacrifice anything. So I'm always going to take the higher percentage play when I have the chance to take the higher percentage. So let's look at the percentages on this play for Gary Kubiak. He had 3 options on this play. 4th and 10, sitting just the other side of the 50. Here are the 3 options for Gary Kubiak. He could punt the ball. Now, I look at the punt and say that's a 0% chance because if they punt, then the game ends in a tie. No thanks. I don't want a tie. And a tie would have cost both teams. A tie would not have been great. So punt the ball, no. That's 0%, so I'm not going to do that. Kick the field goal. A 62-yard field goal with a kicker in Brandon McManus who is at least capable of making that long of a field goal. He's got a huge leg. I saw him in person make a 70-yarder in practice. So he's got a huge leg. It was like 34 degrees, a little bit of wind. I heard the wind had died down when he kicked it. But I'm still going to, in a game situation on a cold night, I'm going to put that percentage at, let's say 10%. 10% he makes the field goal. What if Gary Kubiak goes for it on 4th down and just goes for the first down? Just tries to pick up a first down. Can you pick up 10 yards? Now think about this. Trevor Siemian had thrown for nearly 400 yards that night. So let's say there's a 12% chance, maybe a 15% chance he gets first down. I'll go with that option. Not only do we have a chance at maybe going down and winning the game, I will also save the 7 yards that you get from taking the ball over from where the kick was. Now, I don't blame Kubiak for what he did. He tried to win it.
You play to win the game.
Yeah, he did. He tried to win the game. I don't blame Kubiak for what he did. He tried to win it, but I would have probably gone with a higher percentage play and seen if I could have picked up the 10 yards. That's me. Denver now has its work cut out for them, and not just from a standpoint of where they sit in the standings, but the reason that they sit there, because their defense has actually let them down in a few games. Don't forget, because they lost against the Raiders, they lost against the Chiefs, don't forget that they had that miracle extra point return against the Saints. But at the end of that game, Drew Brees had led the Saints down for a game-tying touchdown, we thought, until they had the extra point blocked. So the Denver defense is actually what's struggling a little bit. As many problems as they have with their offensive line and the quarterback play and that kind of stuff, the defense has let them down a little bit. I thought they would take a step back this year. I didn't think it would be quite as drastic as what we've seen the last few weeks. They've got to shore up some things. Let's switch over to college football. And before we get to the conference championships, and I do want to talk about those conference championships a little bit and what they mean in college football this week, but we've got to talk about one other thing first. You know, Notre Dame got blown out by Southern Cal on Saturday. I don't know if you saw the plays of defensive tackle Jerry Tillery. They were absolutely embarrassing, but that's actually not what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to talk about. Last week, the NCAA announced that the Irish will be forced to forfeit all of their wins from 2012 and 2013 due to an academic misconduct case. The violation centered on a former student-athlete trainer doing some academic work for 2 members of the football team. The incident was actually self-reported by Notre Dame. Let's talk about this briefly. Because look, I hate Notre Dame as much as any red-blooded football fan that has seen them get ranked way too high based on their name instead of what they've actually done on the field. But this is absolutely ludicrous. This is absolutely idiotic. And this just shows how stupid the NCAA truly is. First off, this wasn't a program-wide cheating scandal. This wasn't the institutional lack of control that we've heard of in the past coming from the NCAA. This is a couple of students doing something stupid. So how is it that you're penalizing everyone? The program wasn't involved. 2 stupid kids were involved. But here's actually a little bit more of what I struggle with. The NCAA in this day and age, because remember if you go back to the 80s, we saw them do the death penalty with SMU, and the NCAA was this fierce institution that would come after you and right the wrongs that were going on in college sports. That's not the case anymore. The NCAA is standing on their last legs right now. Because, let's be honest, this is kind of a semi-pro sports league. And it's just a matter of time before they put that title on it and we get rid of the NCAA completely. Here's how toothless the NCAA is right now. Their idea of punishment is to tell everyone to just play make-believe. No, I'm serious. No, really. Instead of actual non-fictional material punishments, we're going to hit Notre Dame with scholarship reductions. We're going to take away some of the scholarships that you have. Or we're going to ban you from the postseason. You're not allowed to be in a bowl game this next year. No. This mess of an entity has now decided to flex their muscles by telling everyone involved, hey, remember those games you guys won in 2012 and 2013? We're going to demand that you pretend you didn't really win those games. Everybody on the same page? Yeah, okay. Remember? Yeah, you won them? You were there? Okay, no, you didn't win them anymore. No, stop smiling. Stop smiling. No one smile. That is where the NCAA is at now. They are telling people, we saw the games. And they did this with USC too. Hey, you're going to vacate wins. What do you mean vacate? Pretend? Hey, you're going to pretend you didn't win. That's what it comes down to. This is the stupidest punishment I've ever seen in my life. Now, I completely think it was unnecessary. It's vindictive. Notre Dame didn't deserve what it is that they're getting. And at the same time, I look at it and say, well, what's the punishment? That we all play pretend? We saw the games. We watched Notre Dame win. The kids celebrated. The kids, you know, carried coaches off the sideline and the Gatorade got dumped. Okay, pretend that didn't happen. That is idiotic. Once again, NCAA screwing things up and being stupid as only they can. You know, Ohio State kind of made a mess in college football. The easy thing would have been for Michigan to win that game against Ohio State, go beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, and go represent the Big Ten in the playoff. The problem is that no one told number two Ohio State. So they beat number three Michigan on Saturday. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. When you look at that and you say, well, number two beat number three, big deal. Well, it kind of makes a mess. And here's why. Because that means that Penn State, who beat Ohio State, actually goes to the Big Ten championship game to play Wisconsin. Okay, no big deal. But here's one little bit of a problem. Remember that for the past 3 years that we've had this college football playoff committee and into the season, the college football playoff committee has told us again and again and again how important conference championships are. If you win your conference championship, we're really going to value that. Well, unless your name's Ohio State. And then, hey, we were just kidding. Ha ha, we got you. Just kidding. Oh, you fell for that? No. Because Ohio State isn't going to win their championship. And I got news for you. They're still going to the playoff. Make no mistake about that. Ohio State is in right now. We still have weeks to go. Ohio State's in. I'm telling you that right now. But this does make a big mess. Because now, the Big Ten could be getting two teams. And the Big Ten could be leaving the Pac-12 out in the cold. See, you might be able to leave Penn State out if they win. They have two losses. They lost to unranked Pitt, and they got blown out by 40 to Michigan. If Penn State wins this coming Saturday, you could sit there and say, well, yeah, but you had the two bad losses. So we're going to leave you out. But what if Wisconsin wins? And I fully expect Wisconsin to win. Their only two losses are 7-point losses to Ohio State and a 7-point loss to Michigan in back-to-back weeks. If that happens, if Wisconsin wins, there's a good chance Big Ten's getting two teams in because Ohio State is going. And then you'd get Wisconsin plus Bama plus Clemson. Meanwhile, the Pac-12, you know those three teams you really don't want to face right now? Washington, Southern Cal, Colorado? Those are three teams nobody wants to see in that playoff right now. Well, we've got some nice departing gifts for those teams. Thanks for playing. You guys had a really good year. Sorry, but we're putting Ohio State in instead. Sorry, but Wisconsin is going instead because they actually won the championship. Even though we've said, you know, the championship matters, Ohio State, they're still going. Meanwhile, Pac-12 is going to be home watching it on TV. We do have conference championship games this weekend. And what effect could any of them have on that final playoff? Could anything change? Let's take a look at the conference championship games real quick. I'm not going to break down the game. I more just want to look at how it's going to affect everything as we look at the college football playoff. So let's take a look. On Friday, the MAC championship will be being played. That is number 21 Western Michigan versus Ohio. I expect the Western Michigan Broncos to win pretty handily. 30, 35, something like that. And they'll be the only other team besides Alabama to go undefeated. They're going to go undefeated. Now, does this game matter? Maybe. Let's say, because they're sitting at 21, if they win this game, maybe they jump up to 17 or 18. If a bomb goes off and destroys teams 5 through 17 or 18, then, yes, Western Michigan will get into the final playoff. Otherwise, no, they will not get into the final playoff. All right, that's the MAC. Let's go to the Pac-12. Pac-12, also Friday night. Number 9 Colorado versus number 5 Washington. And I will say for the record, Washington was cheering all they could for Colorado because they wanted nothing to do with Southern California in this game. But, well, first off, why is the Pac-12 on Friday? What? You're the Pac-12. You're not Jefferson High School. This isn't Friday Night Lights. You should be Saturday night in prime time. Why does the Pac-12 do this to itself? I mean, people are going to see their local high school or they're just getting off of work. Why are you playing the Pac-12 championship on a Friday night? Stop selling yourself short, Pac-12. Stop settling for someone uglier than you. You're better than that. You're Saturday night prime time. You're the Pac-12. Don't settle for someone ugly. You're not Beyonce. Now, does this game matter? Yes, because right now, Washington might slip into the playoff. Washington might be in. Right now, they'd be sitting at number 4, at least in the polls. We'll see where the committee has them. But if Clemson were to stumble, if Wisconsin were to get beat, I think the Pac-12 gets in pretty easily. Could Colorado even sneak in? It's going to take a lot of people falling. Maybe, maybe. But if Washington wins, they'll probably be in. All right, let's go to the Big 12. The Big 12 will feature number 7, Oklahoma, versus number 11, Oklahoma State. Now, I realize this isn't a national championship game, but it has similar implications. And both of these teams, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, are very, very hot after they had slow starts. Does this game matter to the playoff? Yeah, maybe, maybe. If Bama, Clemson, Wisconsin, Washington, if all, not all of them, but if one or two of those teams could lose, then the Sooners or the Cowboys could get themselves in. But they're going to need some help. They're going to need someone to drop off. Right now, if it's Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, and, say, Washington, they're not going to leapfrog and get into there. Not with two losses. Because right now, each of those teams just has one loss. Bama has none. So they need some help. They need someone to stumble. If someone stumbles, I'll tell you what, I would not want to play Oklahoma right now. I would not want to play Oklahoma. I think the Sooners are very, very dangerous right now. And I think that is a team that a few people would be a little bit nervous about playing if they had to face Oklahoma. So yeah, I think the Big 12 somehow has played themselves at least maybe a possibility, a chance of getting back into it. The ACC will also be on Saturday. Number 4 Clemson versus Virginia Tech, who is unranked. This should be a Clemson blowout in the ACC championship. But if we have learned anything about this schizophrenic team that is Clemson, it is that they play up and they play down to whatever level the opponent plays. I expect them to win this game. I expect it to be a close game. And then I expect a few people to be crying and say, oh, I don't think Clemson should get in. And should they? It'll be kind of controversial, but they'll get into the final playoff. And then they'll promptly poop the bed in the playoff and get blown out in the first round. But hey, that's me. That's just me. The Mountain West. Yes, the Mountain West has a conference championship. I don't know why you'd ask that. Of course they do. San Diego State versus Wyoming. You know, it's pretty impressive that Wyoming is playing for anything. And I mean anything at all. Wyoming has been left for dead the past few seasons. I told you at the beginning of the year, I thought Wyoming might actually sneak up and surprise a few people. They're not bad. They're not bad. They are playing for the conference championship. Does this game matter at all to the college football playoff? No. No, it does not in any way, shape, or form. The Big Ten, we just talked about a few minutes ago, number 6 Wisconsin versus number 8 Penn State. Badgers are a very good team. I expect them to win this by 7+. Does it matter? Yes, it matters a ton. Because does either winner get in? Does Wisconsin get in if they win? I think they do. Does Penn State get in if they win? I don't know. They might. They might. Ohio State's in. We can pretend all we want. Ohio State's getting in. The committee will just eat that. But Ohio State's getting in. But this game has some major ramifications. Because if Penn State wins, someone else could slide into that spot. And the Big Ten may not get two teams in. The SEC Championship coming up also on Saturday, featuring number 15 Florida versus number 1 Alabama. Here's the thing about this SEC Championship game. If Alabama pulls their defense off the field and they just have him on the sideline staring at the Gators from the sideline, but they're not actually on the field doing anything, and Florida might be able to score 13, maybe 14 points. That is Florida's only hope. Alabama is favored by 21.5 points, and I'm telling you right now, I don't think this Florida offense could cover 51.5 points. Does the SEC championship game matter to the final playoff committee selection? No, not in any way, shape, or form. Bama is going to the playoff. Florida is not. It makes no difference. Unless Florida goes out and beats Bama by 3 touchdowns, it makes no difference whatsoever. Alabama's going to the playoff. Florida's going to the Gator Bowl. Win or lose, it makes no difference. Did we clear up anything in college football? Do you know anything from college football now? It's kind of a mess. It's kind of a mess right now. The conference championships will clear up a little bit, but Ohio State kind of made a mess of things. Hey, we've got a ton still to get to. Our college basketball preview is coming up, and our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming. Got to make sure that you stick around for that.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon could buy. Look at that, he's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of me, and very much reflect the hidden recalcitrant inside each and every one of you. There will be topics in bad taste, and many you won't agree with. So, keep a leash on your inner SJW and jump on in with an open mind as we explore the controversial. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or SpokenUnspoken.com.
O2 Classic pay-as-you-go SIM. Served just the way you like it. With minutes, 5p a portion. A sprinkle of data at just 5p a megabyte. All topped off with smoking hot 5p text. Tasty.
Order your Classic pay-as-you-go SIM. Text Classic to 66202. O2, more for you.
UK calls standard text and data only. Terms apply.
The O2 Black Friday takeover. Grab yourself a pay monthly SIM deal with a massive 20 gig for £20. Including unlimited minutes and texts. Plus get incredible offers, tickets and experiences with priority. Grab it before it's gone. Search O2 Black Friday. O2, more for you.
Price subject to RPI. Standard UK calls and texts only. Offer ends 30th of November. Terms apply.
You know, we don't care about college basketball. Well, we do, but not yet. Not yet. Since 68 teams or 72 or 74, however many teams, get into the postseason, let's be honest, the regular season, pretty primarily meaningless. there are very few truly important regular season games in college basketball. Because if you are equivalent of being bowl eligible, basically, a little bit better than average, then you probably make it to the big dance. The only real interesting thing is every once in a while, you'll get maybe the smaller school or the lesser known school might knock off a favorite. Maybe you get the rivalry games, the Duke Carolinas, those kind of things. And those make the season a little bit more interesting. The early season games, the holiday games, are at least a little bit fun. No, not that they're that intriguing, but I'll be honest. If you're at home around that holiday area and Michigan State is playing Duke on a Thursday at 3 in the afternoon, yeah, I'll turn it on. But on the whole, do we really care that much about college hoops until it gets, to the postseason? Or at least until it gets to the conference tournaments. Then it starts to get interesting. And, it's even tougher because when we're talking about a sport, we're talking about a situation where so many freshmen get significant playing time. Not just playing time. Some of them are carrying teams. It makes it that much tougher because we don't know these kids. We know coaches. That's all we know. Who does Duke have this year? I don't know. Krzyzewski. Who's Michigan State have this year? I don't know. Tom Izzo. I couldn't tell you their names. I'm just telling you who their coaches are. I know that. I know based on their coaches, I kind of have an idea of what kind of program they're going to run, what kind of things they're going to do. But the kids themselves, there's a few kids you might know. And it's funny because imagine picking the best freshman classes in college football. Which team, based on their freshman class, which team, Alabama, I don't know. I don't have any idea. That's what we have to do in college basketball. But I just want you to have a base to start from. I just want you to know who the big dogs are out there in college hoops, who some of the top players might be, and maybe a few teams that just might surprise everyone. Might just sneak through, slip through and surprise everybody. Of course, our final memory from last year, actually a really, really fun postseason last year in college basketball, lasting memory that we have is Villanova hitting the three at the buzzer to knock off North Carolina in that final game.
With Archie Diacono, 3 seconds at midcourt. Well,
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
An epic finish to an epic postseason that we had in college hoops last year. So who are the teams this year to watch? I'm going to give you, and no, I'm not going through every single team. I'm not going to break down every single team. I'm just going to give you a few of my picks for maybe a dark horse team here or there. Maybe some of the contenders that are out there. And yes, I will give you way too early my final four selections right now. Right now. You can just sit there right now, write down the final four, and just say, okay, when I fill out my bracket, here's the four teams that I'm going to be filling into it. All right, might be a little too early for that, but we'll see how it goes. Okay, let me give you a few dark horses first. And when I say dark horses, I'm not necessarily talking about the Fort Waynes of the world. Fort Wayne just beat Indiana recently, and Fort Wayne has a pretty salty team. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just teams kind of off the radar, kind of the teams, no, we don't need the sound effect, just kind of the teams that you don't think of when we start thinking about March Madness, that you don't think of necessarily when I say college basketball. We think of the big dogs. Like I said, we think of North Carolina, we think of Duke, we think of Michigan State. We think of who are some of those teams a little bit off of that plane that might be that team that, wow, I didn't think about them. But some teams that are out there are pretty good. Let me give you the first one. And this team shouldn't be a dark horse. They shouldn't be a surprise at all because they screw up brackets every single year. But Xavier, he's got a pretty good team. And they did lose some of their big men. But the thing about Xavier is they have some great guards. Edmund Sumner, Miles Davis. Yes, Miles Davis. Very cool guy. And J.P. McCura. And as a result, we know that when you get to the postseason, guards can carry your team. Don't sleep on Xavier. Xavier's very, very talented. We know that they've busted some brackets in the past. Another team that it seems like always busts up your bracket is the Dayton Flyers. And they're back again this year. Dayton has four starters from a team that has gone to three straight tournaments. Can you believe Dayton has gone to three straight tournaments? This class here, if they go, they will be the first class at Dayton to have gone to the big dance every single year that they've been in school. This senior year would be the fourth time in a row. But here's the thing about Dayton that I like. They've got some guards. They've got some bigs. They've got a few different ways to hurt you. They have Scoochie Smith. And I'm telling you right now, never, ever bet against a college basketball team with a guy named Scoochie. That's you don't do it. I mean, you can if you want. But I'm telling you right now, Scoochie's going to make you pay. Don't bet against Scoochie. I'll give you another team. Might not be being talked about too much. The Michigan Wolverines. The Wolverines are learning to play defense. Don't forget what they did last year in the tournament. They had the big lead against Notre Dame, had a double-digit lead, and then we saw, when the chips are down, Michigan doesn't know how to play defense. Or at least they didn't, because they're learning to now. And Michigan, they're starting to play some pretty good defense right now. Now, we know that head coach John Beilein, we know he can coach offense. We know he can get Michigan to generate points. If they actually can play defense, if they actually buy in and start working hard at the defensive end, look out. Look out. Michigan has Final Four kind of talent. Nobody's really talking about them. Michigan, I'm telling you, has Final Four kind of talent. Don't sleep on the Wolverines. Give you a couple more. St. Mary's. Remember St. Mary's last year? They won like 29 games, and then they didn't even make the dance. I mean, they beat everyone that they could beat on their schedule. It was just that they didn't really have anybody that would schedule them. And I feel bad for some of these small schools. I genuinely do. Because they call up the Gonzagas and the Washingtons and the Cals and the UCLAs and whoever and say, hey, we'd love to schedule. And those schools go, why on earth would we schedule you? You might beat us. I'm not scheduling you. And we're not going to do a home and home with you because you're not going to make any money up at your place. So I don't want to schedule you. We're not going to make money, and you might beat us? No, thanks. But St. Mary's did get a few tougher games on the schedule this year. And I'm telling you right now, the Gales can do it all. They can score. They can rebound. They can play defense. They've got size. They've got shooters. Remember, St. Mary's going to be pretty salty this year. And I'm going to give you one more team. And when I say this, you're going to swear that I've gone off the deep end. I'm going to give you one more dark horse team. I don't know if they're truly a dark horse, but I'm telling you right now, I've seen them play already once this season. The Creighton Blue Jays have the talent to win the national championship. Yeah, I know. I know, really, I'm telling you, they do. They have talent, they have depth, they have experience at every single position. You want to watch a nice little player? Watch 5'10 Maurice Watson Jr. Solid little point guard for Creighton. Gets the ball to people when they want the ball. Gets the ball to the right people at the right time. Telling you right now, you might not know about the Creighton Blue Jays. Now you know. Creighton has the talent to win it all. I'll give you a few of the contenders. A few of the teams, I'm not quite going to put them in my Final Four, but some of the teams that are out there that are still going to be in contention. And if they get hot, if they get rolling, if they figure a few things out, there's no telling how far they could go. First one I will start with is the Oregon Ducks. You know, they went to the Elite Eight last year. They didn't lose much off that team. Think about Oregon. They're so long. They're so athletic. They've got a great shot blocker in Jordan Bell. And when you've got a big-time shot blocker behind you, it really changes what you can do defensively. I can pressure. I can attack you. I can make a few mistakes because I know you're back there to erase any of the mistakes I might make. Oregon, going to be very good. I'm going to put Duke in this list. Oh, I know. Dukies will be sad that I don't have them in my Final Four. But I'll be honest, I don't trust those guards quite enough. But they are deep. They are talented. And by the time it gets to March, I know that Mike Krzyzewski will have them playing well. One problem, and it's this problem that we're starting to see with more and more of these teams, one problem that Duke will have, they've got a ton of players. There's only so many minutes and so many shots to go around. Now, I know Krzyzewski can figure out how to do that better than anyone else. I realize that, but that still is a very realistic problem that you will have. They get all these one-and-done guys all on the same team, and they all want to make it to the league. Well, if I'm going to make it to the league, I've got to get 20 shots up tonight. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to get 20 shots up tonight. That's not going to work because there's 11 other guys that want 20 shots too. And, you know, it's funny. When you're talking about how many minutes you have, because I did this with a few of my teams. I would have my players come in and I would say, okay, I want everybody to write down how many minutes they think each player on the team should get. And each player writes down, okay, let's see. I deserve like 40, and then this kid deserves 15 and 18, and I'll give you 20, and I'll give you 24, and they write them all down. And at the end, and it comes out to being like 377 minutes. Well, here's the problem. If we play a 40-minute game and I've got five positions, I've got 200 minutes to play with. That's all the minutes I have. That's all the minutes I have to give. You're talking about 300 and some minutes you've got figured out. It's not quite that easy. Duke will have a little bit of that this year. And like I said, I know Krzyzewski knows how to handle that better than most, but Duke has a ton of talent. It's going to be hard to get them all on the floor at the same time. I'll give you another contender. Senior-led team, the Wisconsin Badgers. They got Bronson Koenig. We've seen him. Nigel Hayes. Of course, Hayes is out, you know, making headlines elsewhere, holding up signs and stuff. Vito Brown, Zach Showalter, a lot of seniors on that team. The Badgers went to the Sweet 16 last year. With those seniors, they should be better this time around. Now, we'll see, because they're going to be playing a little more with a target on their back this year than they have in the past, because they did do so well, and they do return all those guys. There'll be people gunning for Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's going to be right there. The Arizona Wildcats are loaded. There's just one problem with Arizona. I don't trust their point guard. Very, very talented. Arizona is extremely talented. But we'll see if Sean Miller can develop someone to take over that point guard position. And like we talked about earlier, if you've got guards, you can compete. If your guards aren't quite up to par, you can go out very, very early. That's what happened to them last year. We'll see if Sean Miller can get someone to take that position over, make it their own, and get production out of it. Another team that is a contender. For sure. If you like defense, you will like the Louisville Cardinals. Louisville, not that talented offensively, but Rick Pitino, of course, he has them pressing, he has them trapping. The one thing, if you want to press and you want to trap, you have to be a very, very good rebounding team. Because if you don't rebound, then you can't ever get out of that stuff. You have to be very good at rebounding. Louisville's a very good rebounding team. So if you like defense, you'll like Louisville. And if you don't like defense, maybe that's not your bag. How about strippers? Do you like those? Because Louisville apparently has those too. So, whatever. Louisville's got you covered. Indiana. Tom Crean has his best team in Bloomington. The Hoosiers are being tested early. I told you they already lost to Fort Wayne once this year. They have a challenging schedule. If Indiana can stay healthy, they have a ton of weapons. They have a lot of good young players on that team. Just going to be a matter of if they can keep them on the floor, if they can stay healthy throughout the year, because they do have a very, very challenging schedule. Indiana will be a team that will be a contender by season's end. I will say that. They'll be very, very good. Tom Crean, very, very good coach. Okay, I'm going to give you my final four right now. Yes, it's November. Yes, it's 4 months ahead, but I'm going to give you my final four right now. I mean, I'll even tell you who's going to win the whole thing. How about that? Write it down. Go to Vegas, take out your bets. If you win, send me a check. If you don't, then you didn't hear it from me. All right, my first Final Four team, got to be the Kansas Jayhawks. You know, Kansas lost some people, including 74-year-old Perry Ellis. But the Jayhawks still have a lot of talent. And Devontae Graham and Frank Mason are one of the best guard tandems in the country. Now, we're going to have to see if they can shoot it well enough. But Josh Jackson is the top incoming freshman in the country. He can shoot a little bit, and he can do a number of different things that can help them. Getting comparisons, I hate the comparison thing, but Josh Jackson is getting comparisons to Andrew Wiggins. Now, I don't go straight off, oh, he's Andrew Wiggins, but at least you kind of get an idea, size-wise, personality-wise, a little bit of the way he plays, kind of similar. Kansas Jayhawks will be very, very good. We know that Bill Self will get them to a high level at the defensive end. They can come together if they can find some shooters. And like I said, Josh Jackson can shoot a little bit. Kansas will be very, very tough. I'll give you another team. And it's a team that you would think would step back a little bit this year. But the North Carolina Tar Heels are going to be very, very good again. They lost Bryce Johnson. They lost Marcus Page. And those are big losses. Don't get me wrong. But Roy Williams is loaded. He's getting all the top recruits. Roy Williams is loaded year after year. Joe Berry, Justin Jackson, they are more than capable of carrying this team. The biggest question for North Carolina will be, can they rebound? Again, talked about the rebounding thing. If you like to press, if you like to trap, if you like to attack teams defensively, it's all fun in games until you can't rebound. And if you can't rebound, you can't get stops, and you wear yourself out. If this team can rebound, they're going to be right in the thick of it. North Carolina, I'm going to say they go to the Final Four. I'm going to give you another one. Again, taking a step back. Well, they should, but man, they just have so many good players. Villanova. Yes, Ryan Arcidiacono is gone. He did graduate. He left. But look at all the players. They still have Chris Jenkins, kid that hit the three last year. They still have Phil Booth. And Josh Hart is back as well. There were times during the tournament last year, Josh Hart was carrying that team. Villanova has a chance to be the first team to win back-to-back national championships since Florida did it back in 2006 and 2007. Don't sleep on Villanova. They will be very, very tough. And the thing that you cannot replace, the thing that you cannot teach as a coach, the thing that you either have or you don't, they have the experience of knowing how to win in crunch time. On the biggest stage, they found ways to win. Can't teach that experience. You have to live it. You either have it or you don't. Villanova has it. Keep an eye on Villanova. I will give you my final four team, and I'll be honest, they're my pick to win the whole thing. But this team is young and very, very talented. Yes, I am talking about the Kentucky Wildcats. Remember the names. Freshman, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. They will not be in college for long. Kentucky has talent. They have depth. They even have a little experience. Okay, they've got sophomores Isaiah Briscoe and Isaac Humphreys. And they actually, you're not going to believe this when I say this, Kentucky actually has two seniors, two pretty good seniors. Who knew? I had no idea. Yeah, Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, both seniors, somehow did not get drafted into the NBA yet, despite I think Kentucky has had like towel boys, managers, bus drivers from Kentucky. They all been getting drafted by the NBA. Somehow these guys did not yet. But as usual, the question, much like Duke, will be, can John Calipari get this group to be unselfish and actually execute when they have to? Because everybody's trying to go to the league. Everyone's trying to be one and done. I got to get my shots. If so, Kentucky has more talent than anyone else. Kentucky is better than everyone else out there. If they will buy in and play unselfish, smart, intelligent basketball. Now, yes, Calipari can still get outcoached down the stretch. In a tight game, they'll probably miss some free throws because that's just how things are. But I'm telling you, the Kentucky Wildcats are absolutely loaded. They are my pick to win this year's college basketball national championship. What about the women's side? Who's going to be winning it all in women's? UConn? I don't know. I have no idea. UConn. I'll just say UConn. Connecticut wins it every year. Gino Auriemma, he gets better players than everyone else. And he's a very good coach. Not underestimating the job he does coaching. He would be great anywhere. But he gets great players, and they'll probably win it all. At Baylor? I don't know. Maybe Baylor's good. I have no idea. But, hey, there, you got my final two picks in college basketball. UConn and Baylor. I don't know. Is that even accurate? I need Raymond to tell me about women's hoops because I don't watch it enough. Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Daily Dose Top 5, you never know which way that's going to go. But this week, you know, we're looking at Alabama this year. Alabama is undefeated, and I expect them to win big on Saturday. This team has dominated throughout the season. Now, if they win the SEC championship, if they win the first playoff game and then the second playoff game, winning the national championship, they will have beaten 9 ranked teams if they win the national championship. If they go through undefeated and win it all, they will have beaten 9 ranked teams. They are winning by an average of 28 points a game. Could this Alabama team be one of the most dominant teams ever? Maybe. Possibly. I don't know. The only problem that I have is that I can't really name any players. I mean, can the average fan name any players off of this team? No, probably not. So maybe they're not the most dominant team ever, but they're right there. That 2009 team was pretty good too. That 2009 team wasn't all bad. So today, our Daily Dose Top 5, we count down the 5 most dominant college football teams of all time. Now, I'm not talking about programs. obviously right now, Alabama, one of the best programs ever. Job that Nick Saban is doing year in, year out. They are consistently top five team, and usually, let's be honest, top one team. I'm not talking about programs, though. I'm talking about a single season most dominant college football team in the country. Here are our five most dominant college football teams of all time. And when I say all time, yes, I'm going to kind of throw in that caveat of, in fact, you know, I'll just give an honorable mention. I'll throw an honorable mention to 1945 Army. Yes, I know, maybe you're an older listener. Maybe you're just a college football historian. You're going to throw out 1945 Army. Doc Blanchard, Glenn Davis, Davy Crockett, I don't know, Daniel Boone, I have no idea. But Army in 1945 went 9-0 by an average of 40 points a game. On average, they won every game by 40 points, and they beat five ranked teams. Pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. Army 1945, they should be up there among the big dogs. But it did also happen prior to, like, you know, talkies and horseless carriages and those kind of things. So I'm going to give them an honorable mention, but they're not going to quite make our list. We're going to go a little more modern than that because I think they also wore Civil War uniforms when they played. I don't know. Number five on our list, top five most dominant college football teams. I'm going to go with the 1974 Oklahoma Sooners. You know, that was the first title won under Barry Switzer. The Sooners went 11-0, won their games by an average of 43-8. You might remember some of the players on that team. Leroy Selman. Remember Dewey Selman inside? And then, of course, Steve Davis, quarterback, and Joe Washington was a pretty good running back for the Oklahoma Sooners. Hey, Oklahoma, not too bad. And you know, Oklahoma that season beat two ranked teams. Okay. Maybe not the greatest schedule, but hey, that's not horrible. And they were blowing folks out. I'll put 1974 Oklahoma at number five. Number four on our list, a little newer. You will remember the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. You know, Larry Coker led this team, and this team had a number of names you will remember. Ken Dorsey, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Ed Reed, Antrell Roll, Jonathan Vilma, and Vince Wilfork. They went 12-0. They beat five ranked teams, and they blew out number four Nebraska 37-14 in the Rose Bowl. 2001 Miami team, definitely one of the best of all time. They belong up there. Number three on my list. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I can already feel it. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I know. You can start yelling now. Just go ahead and send your letters, dailydosports@gmail.com. I can already feel it coming, but I'm still putting them there. The 1971 Nebraska Cornhuskers. I know. It's considered blasphemy by many to not have 71 Nebraska as the number one team. A lot of the reason is because they won the game of the century. Everyone said the game of the century, number one Nebraska versus number two Oklahoma for the Big Eight. Who was going to win the Big Eight? And Nebraska came out on top 35-31 in an amazing game. So they must be the best team of all time, right? Hey, they were great. They won 13 games by an average of 31 points a game. And in the Orange Bowl that year, they crushed number two Alabama 38-6. Johnny Rogers was doing everything for the Cornhuskers. Scored 13 total touchdowns, won the Heisman. But here's the but. You knew a but was coming, right? Here's the but. They only faced three ranked teams all season. I mean, three teams. You had Oklahoma, you had Colorado, and then you had Alabama in the Orange Bowl. Other than that, the other teams on their schedule had a combined record of 51-59-1. So it wasn't like they were crushing all the ranked teams that were around. Yes, 71 Nebraska, definitely one of the greatest teams of all time. I'm just not going to give them the number one spot. And I'm also not going to give them the number two spot. I'll put them at number three. Number two on our list. Another loaded team. And this team could be number one. I'll be honest. This team could be number one. The 1972 Southern California Trojans. USC was loaded. John McKay's Trojans blew out Ohio State 42-17 in the Rose Bowl. They were the first team to be named number one on every single ballot by both coaches and the media. And Southern Cal faced six ranked teams. They went 12-0, They averaged beating every team on their schedule by an average of 39 points to 11. You might remember a few of the players. Anthony Davis, Sam Cunningham, Lynn Swan was catching passes from Mike Ray. Like I said, you can make a pretty good case. 72 USC might be the best team ever. Might be the most dominant college football team of all time. So who could number one on our list be? I struggled with this one. Because so many of these teams, 74 Oklahoma, it's a little before my time. 71 Nebraska, before my time. 72 at USC. I've read the books. I've seen the film. I've watched the videos. But I didn't see them. The team I put as number one, I saw them. And I saw how dominant they were. And I'll be honest, I couldn't stand them. Living in Colorado, I couldn't stand them. Couldn't stand them or their fans, their obnoxious fans. But my number one most dominant team, it's got to be 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Tommy Frazier, who I've told you in the past, I think is the best option quarterback ever, had Amon Green and Lawrence Phillips in the backfield with him. They scored 53 points per game. 53 points per game. Running wishbone option stuff. They scored 53 points a game. They went 12-0. They beat teams by an average of 39 points per game. They beat four ranked teams, and they crushed an undefeated Florida team 62-24 in the Fiesta Bowl at the end of the year. Don't forget, that Florida team was loaded. They went on to win it all the following season. 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers, most dominant college football team that I have seen. They finish number one on our list. Hey, next week on the show, we will be recapping all of those college football championship games, not to mention the NCAA football coaching carousel that is going on right now. There are a number of coaches going a number of different places. Want to talk about where some of these coaches might end up. And, you know, I just might have a very big interview, maybe even two. We'll see if we can get those all lined up. Plus, NFL, NBA, and, of course, the Daily Dose Top 5. You always have to make sure that you stick around for that. Don't forget to go rate and review the podcast wherever it is that you download the show. It just helps us get seen by a few more people if you give us that 5-star rating. We would appreciate it. Feel free to contact the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or hit us on Facebook or Twitter if you've got a comment or a question. And be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose. Get that holiday shopping done, and be sure to enter that coupon code DAILYDOSE to get 10% off. You'll be glad that you did. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
The Amazon Echo brings voice control to your home. Play music, ask questions, check the news, weather, and more. All you have to do is ask.
Alexa, what's in the news?
Astronomers have seen what may be water vapor plumes erupting off the surface of Jupiter's moon Europa.
Alexa, do I need my umbrella today?
There is an 80% chance of rain today.
Alexa, play my rainy day playlist.
Here comes the rain again.
The Amazon Echo. Just ask.